Imagine delving into the life and work of your favorite artist, sifting through her books, belongings, and letters, and most importantly, her artwork. Sometimes you group the items chronologically, sometimes by theme, spending hours tracing threads through her life. And since traveling to access materials in person is not always possible, you can do all this research from the comfort of your own home, thanks to the artist's digital catalog Raisonné.
Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, game and object design, and ethics. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Liz Neely, the curator of digital experience at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe. The museum is working on a series of projects to develop new ways of revealing connections between art, archival, and historic home collections to facilitate a broader exploration and study of Georgia O'Keeffe. These projects imagine access to collections through discovery, storytelling, and ultimately a digital catalog raisonné. Liz is a human-centered strategist focusing on forming engaging experiences for museum audiences while designing sustainable organizational workflows.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Liz. This is such a pleasure to talk with you. And I guess I just wanted to get started by asking, what does the curator of digital experiences do at the O'Keeffe Museum?
Thanks, Ellen. I'm so happy to be here as well. So thanks for having me. Yes, it's actually a really unique title in museums. It's not one that you'll find many of. Maybe I'm the only one, but perhaps there are more. So being the curator of digital experience, I'm really focused on how we can use digital technologies, whether that's something online or in a gallery experience, everything from experiential to infrastructural, to engage and serve the audiences that come to the museum, that come online, who are doing research. So that can be anything from publishing collections, which we'll talk more about, or also thinking of different ways of doing storytelling in the galleries, like some immersive clouds and things like that. So it really runs the gamut, and it seems pretty wide, but for me, I feel like it's all so connected in how we think about content collections and how we deliver those to a variety of audiences.
It sounds almost like two out of three of your primary audiences may not set foot in your museum.
It's really true. Being a single artist museum of a well-known artist is that not only do we serve a lot of people just through the website or through other means, but also we have a museum and galleries, but we also have a research component. We have the historic homes. And then we also serve a lot of research requests and support exhibitions around the world. So that's also, people may be seeing O'Keeffe's in person, but we have some role within that to help make those exhibitions what they are.
Tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing in the position of curator of digital experience in terms of building sort of a digital collection, putting all that stuff online so people can engage with it.
Yes, it's been a really exciting journey. I have been working for the museum for almost 4 years now, but I did some work with the museum before that. And one of the first things that we identified that would really serve a wider set of audiences is that we have these fantastic art collections, but also archive collections, which is letters. There's her personal book collection. There are her historic homes. So that's clothing. It's the kind of stereo that she has and everything. And there were a lot of connections amongst these things, whether it's a photograph of her moving around an artwork or of the building of the properties. So there was a lot of crossover. And so what we really have been trying to do over the last 4 or 5 years and then moving forward is provide a way to provide connections. so that you can learn about the art, but you could see a photograph of her with the art. You can see the belt that was forged by a certain New Mexico artist that she wore every time she was photographed by a certain photographer. That there are all these ways that we can at least provide the connections, and then other people can also make what you will of that. I think one of the things is that we don't want to just tell you what to think of that, but provide those connections to explore. So through that, we have our collections online, which have all of these various connections between collections, and that's in a browsable format showing these connections, but also we are committed to using data standards that are used throughout the museum world so that not only is it extensible within our own collections, but that we can also make connections with other museums that are using these standards and that you can access data sources. So I'll stop with the nerdiest part there.
So what would another museum maybe be able to do with correlating that data? I guess I'm curious about how you do it.
There are a few different ways that it can work. We mentioned kind of an end goal of having a catalog resume. You can think that kind of why we want to scale everything so that we are open to connecting to how other people are describing their art and their materials in the archive. So, for example, in the art museum field, the Getty has a set of vocabularies, or the Library of Congress has a vocabulary. So when we say something is by Georgia O'Keeffe, we know which Georgia O'Keeffe. I'm talking about the same George O'Keeffe that the Getty is talking about, that the Met is talking about, that the Art Institute of Chicago is talking about. But also, if you talk about a work on paper, that is something that everyone knows what we're talking about. And how that can be used, well, even just in browsing, you know that there's a like things that you can talk about. But taking it two steps forward, one way is if you access data and you put it in spreadsheets and things like that, that it will talk to one another. And then that next step is that if you publish it all together as a future digital catalog resume, you know like things. There are a lot of different ways of using it, and I think there's a lot of ways that haven't even been realized quite yet.
And this data will be accessible to the public, generally speaking? Is that accurate?
Yes. Actually, right now we have a linked open data set. It's a little tricky sometimes, but it's there. I just worked with a computer science class at UNM last semester, I believe it was, and they started looking at that and crossing it over, because the other thing that is there are also open data sets about weather. There are open data sets about place. You can look at a date and see what was the weather on that date. So you can actually cross things over in linked data with other kinds of data sets.
Just for my purposes and for the sake of the listener, though, I actually want to back up almost to the very beginning, just to get nomenclature down. A raisonné is a what?
That is a really good question, because I feel like I might not have known that 10 years ago myself. So working for a single artist museum is really interesting, because I used to work for the Art Institute of Chicago, which is an encyclopedic museum. So the way that you think about collections and data is quite different, because you're thinking about it over millennia of time and all kinds of art forms. With a single artist museum, we're not as broad, but we go deep. And what a catalog resume is, and what it traditionally is if we were video, I would hold up a very heavy 2-volume book. It is the authoritative kind of listing of an artist's work. And there can be a catalog resume for an artist's work on paper, and then a different one for their paintings. But it really kind of serves to say, this has been verified as a work by this artist. And then it usually has a certain distinct scholarly amount of information around it. In the art world, it's provenance, which is who owned it and when and how did it get transferred from one person to another. And it has a publication history, so where has this been published? And it has an exhibition history. The print version are very important to an artist's work, because it really shows the full span from the first work, so you number something But there are also limitations to anything in print. Like I said, it's very heavy, it's expensive. These kinds of things are almost databases in book form, because as soon as you publish it, of course, if it's in a new exhibition, the exhibition history is out of date. If the work gets sold to a new person, the provenance is out of date and the current owner. So for a single artist, it really shows what that person did in the full span of their life. The catalog resume for Georgia O'Keeffe is from 1999. So there have been a couple exhibitions since then. So that's the kind of challenge with the print edition.
But you're trying to make it all digital. You're trying to do a digital resume.
Yeah. So what the vision is we have an NEH Digital Humanities Advancement Grant, a level one version. And what we're doing is really seeing what is the potential of a digital catalog resume. And there are actually quite a few digital catalog resumes. We're not the first to do this. We want to explore if we can expand the definition of what this is. I hear a lot in talks about catalog resumes authoritative, which I'd love us to move away from as a field. I'm actually using it pretty deliberately here, that like in the print edition, there have been digital editions, and I think there's still a lot of thought in the field that a digital edition, sometimes it needs to stop in time so that it can be a reliable source. So there's that version. There's other versions that look pretty much like the print version, but are just digitally available. And then there are other ones that look more like a museum's collections online. And all those things are fine. What we're doing with this grant is we're actually talking to makers of catalog resumes. We're talking to users. We're talking to people who are thinking about digital scholarly publishing in general to think about, can we push this a little further? And can we think about this as something that is generative, that changes, but what are the mitigations that we can have this be a living document, but still have the reliability that is afforded to a catalog resume? And one of the things that we're really excited about exploring is that definition of a catalog resume fixed. And can it not be expanded, or how far can it be expanded if you do things like give attribution to changes, mark the changes, if you embed uncertainty, if you have transparency around that? I think this is really about digital scholarly publishing and how we can have scholarly publishing really act in a way for scholars and researchers that's different than print fundamentally.
We could probably go down this rabbit hole for 2 hours, but to me, it begs the question, though, the fact that the print version is in print means, okay, so it can't be changed because it's a book, but you're still presuming that whoever wrote and compiled that raisonné is the authority. So if this was a traditional print raisonné, who's the authority?
I think that's a great question. As a born digital person, I'm actually surprised by how much print still gives something a weight. So Barbary Bleuler Lyons was the scholar with advisors, is the author of the digital catalog resume of Georgia O'Keeffe. And I do believe that there is a certain sense of she has earned and continues to earn her place as a scholar of Georgia O'Keeffe. So indeed, that personality, the person of an author, plays a part in it. And so I think one of the things that we are going to explore in through a series of surveys and then some interviews and then some workshops is, can you have something that's still reliable if it is multi-authored? What do you need to know about the authors to have that trust and faith and that reliability? Because Barbary Bleuler Lyons is a scholar of Georgia O'Keeffe. That is well known, and she has earned that through many years of work, and I have a lot of respect for her work. Trying to get at that, though, is there something essential about the print? Is there something essential about the trust that you have in that certain author, in that certain scholar? And then how do we bring that forward into a 21st century document, thinking about scholarship differently? Because can a digital catalog resume serve as a reliable source for certain things, and then areas of scholarly community dialogue and others, of uncertainty, of a changing environment, of new discoveries, of diverse voices even, because different people will think about Georgia O'Keeffe differently, especially if we're talking about humanities and we're talking about the art and life of Georgia O'Keeffe. If someone's coming from a different discipline than art history, someone's coming from a different background, if we can open this up to a broader, diverse set of voices, it actually complicates the story. So can you have complication and reliability at the same time? I think it's a fascinating thought process around digital scholarly publishing in general, especially when in the realm of museums where there's this idea of a trusted source, but we also want to let more voices in to our trusted source.
Liz, the time is just flying by. We can't thank you enough for being with us today to talk about your efforts up at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum. Really appreciate your time being with us.
Thank you so much. I really love being here.
And if you would like more information, you can visit the O'Keeffe Museum online at o'keeffemuseum.org. And of course, if you're in the Santa Fe area, you can visit the museum itself and go find Liz in her back office somewhere. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.